Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Thanks for spending some time with me today. As regular listeners of the show know, we're about culture and the culture. And it can be said that the Marvel Universe films franchise, now at 22 films over the last 11 years, is both. Avengers Endgame came out last week. In its first 5 days alone, it earned more than $1 billion globally and broke the record for the highest opening weekend earnings for an international release. The success comes at really no surprise given the previous blockbuster hits from Marvel. Think Avengers Infinity War, Black Panther, Iron Man, Captain Marvel. It is not only newsworthy because of the financial story, it's newsworthy because of the story. The film marks the end of an era in the Marvel Universe, not least because the president of Marvel Studios, Kevin Feige, has explained that he sees Endgame as, quote, the conclusion to the expansive journeys. So is that a hard no? For some characters, yes. My next guest, Endgame screenwriters Christopher Marcus. Hi, Chris.
Hey.
And Steve McFeely aren't going to answer all of the questions I want to ask, because spoilers stink, but I'm sure we'll find something to chat about. The duo also wrote Avengers Infinity War, all three Captain America movies, Thor The Dark World, and the Marvel TV series Agent Carter. You guys are busy.
We have been.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was just saying to you, thank you for coming in, because you really don't have to do any promotion at this point.
You know, it's a celebration. It's not so much a promotion.
Before, I want to take this all the way back. Before you ever typed a word for the Marvel Universe, what were you doing?
Oh, we were screenwriters, but, you know, we had just come off of the Narnia series. We were, in fact, there was a writer's strike in 2007, and we were walking the picket line, and the studio called and said, hey, when the strike's over, don't come back to Narnia. so we had been fired off that. And then we spent the next year looking for our next job, and coincidentally, Iron Man, this is 2008, had come out, done gangbusters, and gave Marvel the confidence to make a few movies, and one of them being Captain America. And we chased that movie all the way through 2008 to try to convince them we were the guys.
And we thought we were signing up for one movie, and then, you know, we could go live our lives. But apparently, it's a lifetime commitment.
That's so. Had you been a comic book fan? Had you been involved, invested in this world at all?
I had been a comic book fan as a kid, but had kind of faded out of it. And then suddenly, someone offered to pay me to read comic books. And
good gig.
That's a
yeah,
good gig
no, it, yeah. It. I got to say, it's pretty sweet.
How about for you? Were you
I was
one,
a
Steven?
Star Wars nerd. I wasn't a comics guy. So Star Wars and Dungeons and Dragons. And then I sort of, you know, fell away as I, you know, found girls and such.
Yeah. Tell us about these girls.
These things you call girls.
Right.
So as you were starting to invest in this and to steep yourself in this world, what did you do for research just at the very beginning?
We read every comic we get our hand on. So we went throughout Los Angeles and went to all the bookstores. And they make compendiums, sort of these, you know, collections where all the color is taken out. There's these black and white books. It makes it really hard to distinguish heroes from villains, and turns out they're all built the same.
Yeah.
But we read everything we could, and every couple months we'd go back to Marvel and say, all right, we have some new ideas. Well, now you should hire us.
Then eventually.
We
put this movie out.
As screenwriters, going through those comic books, what did you notice about story structure and story arc that was unique to the Marvel Universe?
Well, I mean, comic books have a very different demand on story than a movie does. Like, also their story structure has changed over the years. They used to tell a story within one issue, move on, tell another story. Now, things tend to arc more like a TV season over however many issues they want to do. I think we learned more about the character and what specifically Captain America was about during those years. Because on the surface, you can come to Captain America and go, oh, he's a stiff, he wears a flag, this is, you know, some sort of nationalist superhero. If you read everything he's gone through, he's a much more fascinating character and more of a symbol for the soul of the country as opposed to the government. And, you know, there's a whole run where he grapples with Marvel's version of Watergate, and it's he is a very nuanced, kind of conflicted character. And I think once we absorbed that, we knew you could do a lot of things with this guy.
My guests are Christopher Marcus and Stephen McFeely. They are the screenwriters for Avengers Endgame. So I haven't seen it yet because...
How dare you have an excellent excuse, I'm
this
sure.
This Saturday at 2:10 p.m., right. I'll be taking a gaggle, pod of 10-year-old boys for my son's 11th birthday.
Has your son seen it already?
He has not seen it already, although he's deep into the YouTube spoiler world.
Well, get him off that. He's going
to
ruin it.
He just wants to know. He watches all the Eric Voss videos. Right.
I have to say, though, you know, there's a reason people go to this movie more than once. Because it, little spoilers or, you know, when you find out what happens, that's a thing. But it's about the emotional journey and seeing what the characters go through and... The facts of the movie are somewhat incidental to the organic journey that they're on. And I think people would not be responding the way they were if it was just about, a scorecard of who lives and who dies. Mm-hmm. It's about what they go through on their way there. So your son will be fine
he will
be weeping.
He's excited. Don't get me wrong. As a mom, 3 hours, guys?
Yeah, we talked about it.
I really want to hear about the conversation
about that
because that's actually a serious commitment, also as screenwriters, to ask your audience to sit through 3 hours and 2 minutes. Tell me about the length.
It's
why
the 22nd movie of a franchise. If we had given you, a 90-minute sprint, I think we would have just as many people raising their hands going, seriously, you just did all that in 90 minutes? And I don't want to particularly spoil it, but when you, Act 2 is a particular idea, and the idea behind Act 2 requires a little work, mm-hmm. and it's you can't cut anything. So it sort of is what it is.
Yeah, and you kind of want to luxuriate in it. I mean, we're bringing a bunch of stuff to an end, and... You know, each thread needs to sort of be brought organically down to its resting point, and that takes time. And it does not feel like 3 hours when
it's
you're in
a
it.
Lean
I have to say,
three
it is
hours.
A, mm-hmm. It is quick.
Was it 4 hours at one
point? No.
And then it was
I
always
think the director's
always come
cut
right
was,
in.
No, the director's cut was maybe 3 hours 5 minutes.
Oh, I mean, that's interesting.
It's always been we beat up the script with the Russo brothers a lot, so we really try to vet it before we get on set.
There were some things that could have made it 3.5 hours, but I don't think anyone ever entertained keeping them, So we looked at them, went, no, mm-hmm. and moved on.
It's interesting to hear you describe it as Act 2, because it made me think it's like a play.
Oh, for sure.
In a way.
Oh, yeah.
Except we don't actually get to have intermission in movies.
You're really obsessed with the intermission, aren't you?
I got a bunch of boys who are going to bring something.
No, I'm just kidding. I do hear that throughout theaters, throughout the
children
country,
have very powerful bladders.
Really?
My daughter is any indication, like a camel.
Kids can hold in there. It's the adults, right? Christopher Marcus and Stephen McFeely, the name of the movie is Avengers Endgame. You might have heard of it. They are the screenwriters. I understand, now again, if the internet is telling me the truth, that you were writing this movie... and Infinity War simultaneously.
Yes.
How does that work?
It was very exciting. We knew when we took the job that it would be the biggest puzzle we would ever face or nearly any screenwriter ever faced. So we locked ourselves in a room in late 2015 and we put movie one on 3x5 cards on one wall and movie two on the other wall. And on the third wall, we had these little baseball cards with every person who was alive in the Marvel Universe. And we could move them around to try to create interesting pairings and things that excited us. And that helped us, chart our way through what ended up being 5.5, almost 6 hours of movie.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds very Carrie and Homeland.
It was
sort of a beautiful mind.
People would walk into the room and then back out slowly going like, hey, you guys type this up, okay, and give it to me.
Did you ever write yourself into a corner?
Yes.
Constantly. Well, you had to write out.
Did you see
better?
Infinity War?
I did.
Okay,
yes.
That's a big corner we wrote ourselves into. And then we write ourselves even further in Act 1 of this one. Yeah, so we made it. It's a real pain in the butt for us, yeah.
But it's the only way to... It's the only way to discover new things is to eliminate all the obvious options and then sit there for a couple of unhappy weeks going like, maybe we should get out of the corner until somebody goes, wait, I have a plan.
Now that you're this far in, knowing what you know now about writing this genre over this period of time, what would you have tapped yourselves on the shoulder 10 years ago and said, guess what? You should maybe try this. Or this is something to look out for or something to consider.
Well, frankly, I'm glad we didn't have the idea. I mean, it was in the back of Kevin Feige's head that there would be a Avengers and an interconnected universe. But I'm very glad that we weren't thinking about it at the time. Because I think we wrote a very contained, effectively birth-to-death movie for Captain America with no real eye on the future except for this tiny little end tag. And that allowed us to really focus on what was going on in the movie and not be constantly planting little eggs to be, or seeds, I suppose, to sprout later.
That's the beauty of the Marvel Universe, is that they always try to make the best movie in front of them. And, you know, if that eats the lunch of a later movie, so be it. They'll just make another lunch. Yeah.
What are some of the ways that you decided to shape the tone? Because all the movies have a little bit of a different tone to them.
Yeah, we sort of get accused with the Russo brothers, the last four movies being the we're the broccoli, right? And they're, you know, Guardians and Thor Ragnarok get to be the candy, and we're your vegetables. We try to take the stakes seriously, and you're making a comic book movie, but which means you should enjoy it, but it doesn't mean that the characters need to be dumb or facile. Tone-wise, we just try to treat characters honestly, and I think when you're in peril or you're in crisis, a lot of times black humor comes out of that. So it doesn't, it's not jarring to me when something amusing happens, even though something dire is happening.
I feel like, I don't know if this is too cynical a question to ask, but is it hard to write earnest? Because Cap's so earnest.
Yeah. You know, it is hard. It's hard to write sincerely earnest. You can write fake earnest all day long and people will read it every time. It is hard. But it's, if you stick to the character's earnestness as opposed to the character standing up for a viewpoint that is exterior to them, it'll read better and it will be more believable. I mean, Steve Rogers stands up for the things that Steve Rogers believes in, not necessarily the things that the, you know,
Chris
American agenda stands for.
Right.
So, and he will stand alone as much as he will stand with a group of people. He's Atticus Finch.
Gary Cooper.
Elliot Ness. These guys who just drive forward.
And that was refreshing. I mean, very often, particularly in modern storytelling, there's your heroes either have to overcome some flaw in themselves or have a dark night of the soul or something like that. And we realized that wasn't Steve's nature. He changes the world around him.
And especially when you're doing an Avengers movie, you can always put that up against Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Pratt, so that the movie is never going to go overly earnest. You know, you can always cut back and forth between the tones.
How much did you guys have to work around the real life constraints of actors saying, okay, this is my last film? Chris Evans has been pretty straight up about, I'm retiring as Captain America. Some of the other actors have said the same thing. What impact did that have on your writing of this particular movie and also Infinity War?
We try not to let that affect us because everyone has a price. It could just be negotiations. We tried just to be honest about where the characters were and what would be, for some people, a natural conclusion. So maybe Marvel has a secret, you know, financial agenda, but that really didn't bleed down to us.
But I will also say, you know, all of these actors are very into this job and into these characters. And part of the reason they feel able to say, I think this might be my last one, is because they feel that the character has come to an end. I think if we had a ton more story and they knew it, they wouldn't be saying it. So I think that's kind of why this movie feels special, is because it really does feel like the people who are departing have departed on a really appropriate way. It's not, boy, I didn't expect that, and he had so much more to say. Yeah. Like, everyone seems to be going out at the right time.
Comics and comic book movies, to a lesser extent, are generally act twos forever, mm-hmm. right? It's always Act Two.
Right.
And the idea was, let's have a proper Act Three, and what kind of pathos could you get when you do that?
My guests are Christopher Marcus and Stephen McFeely. They are the screenwriters for Avengers Endgame. At what point, guys, do we have to not do a spoiler alert before? I mean, honestly, as screenwriters, like, do you think it's
sure.
2 weeks? Is it three
I
weeks?
Think Monday
is it a
morning
month?
Is fair enough to talk
next
honestly.
Monday?
Yeah. Do you want me to stick around?
Sure. I'll text you later. We'll
right.
set up a phoner
right.
for all the questions,
questions
I actually have.
That's right.
Do you think, so you think like after two weekends?
Yeah.
I'm actually quite serious.
I think possibly after two yeah. weekends is good. I mean, you know, one of the reasons is because it's that we're holding all of these things inside even when it's out is because it seems like it is really working as a communal experience mm-hmm. in a day and age where we don't have that many of them. And, you know, just on a nostalgic level, I want to keep that going for people. I don't want to splat it all over, you know, dissect the patient in front of them when they're still having fun.
Oh, you've
you know?
Seen people get very angry about being spoiled. There was a Bills running back who went online and told everybody, and somebody, I think, in China screamed it to the people
yeah.
waiting outside and got his butt kicked. I mean, like, there's some passion here.
People take it seriously. Okay, so without a spoiler, let's see if we can, what is a risk that you took in this script that you think is interesting or proud of or was kind of made you nervous to do?
Oh, there's plenty of them. We certainly move the six core OG Avengers forward. Hopefully organically, hopefully naturally, but mm-hmm. some of those folks take dramatic turns in their lives. Mm-hmm. Geez, that's about all I can say. But they're big swings, and that's, I think, when Marvel movies are the best, is when they take big swings.
Yeah, and I'd say just without, there are many bigger swings within this, but taking the end of Infinity War very mm-hmm. seriously and not whipping a get out of jail free card out at the beginning of this movie so that, you know, something horrible happened, these heroes lost, and spending a good amount of time just sitting with that before any hope of a reprieve pops up so that, you know, it's a real loss. They really failed.
We're the vegetables movie.
Let's see if I can try to ask this without spoiling. There's a choice you made for Thor
yes.
that is controversial.
Yes.
Okay, yes.
That some people think is funny and some people think is mean-spirited.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right.
How do you respond to the mean-spirited people say, like, you know what, not nice, guys?
I would say that is answered by, again, I'm trying to dance around spoilers here. That is answered by the conversation that Thor has later in the movie.
Right.
Because you'll note that the thing we're talking about isn't undone by the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
He has, the attitude toward it has changed. So that we're not saying, haha. We're saying, look at the effect what he went through has had on him.
Mm-hmm.
This is clearly a change. He's clearly going through some stuff. Yes. It's funny to see the contrast between one Thor and another, but that's not why it's there. It's to show this guy's changing whether he likes it or not.
Cumulative storytelling.
And how do you react to that?
Yeah.
So I understand the sensitivity, but I would say that's certainly not why it's there.
I have a question from our culture editor at Gothamist who saw the movie.
Uh-huh.
Just wanted to tell me everything about it. Ben Yakis. He wants to know says you've joined the Russo Brothers new production company.
Yeah. Yeah.
But our arts editor, Gothamist, Ben Yakis, wants to know, hypothetically, you had the opportunity to make another Marvel film. Ooh. What narrative would you like to explore further from the Marvel Universe?
Mm.
Well, a couple of them are being done by the streaming shows. I think we can say that Falcon mm-hmm. and the Winter Soldier, and I don't know what they're doing there, okay. but I think where we've left them is really meaty. And there's some good stuff to mine there, and I will miss them because you know they've been my job for 10 years. So that's the one I would be interested in that one. Who do you like?
Well, I mean, there's characters who haven't been introduced yet who I don't know if anybody even has plans to that I think would be interesting. There's whatever is happening, and I'm not cagey. I honestly have no idea with what they're absorbing from the Fox merger, which should prove fascinating.
Right, because they won't do what you think they're going to do. They're not just going to, you know, whatever I know about Kevin Feige, he's just not going to give you, you know, a 10% different version of the Fantastic Four and the X-Men. Like, yeah. he's got a long game.
I love Carol Danvers.
Mm-hmm.
I just do. Because the whole 90s thing.
Yep, worked for you.
My world. Which Avenger do you love? It's like picking your child, I know.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're contractually obligated to say Cap.
Because we
started with him.
Right.
I do, well.
Or you think just like really touches something. Maybe something you've gone through that you
sure.
really.
Sure. Well, I mean, I can't say that I'm a billionaire philanthropist playboy, but Tony's humanity and his flawedness is always very, you get it. You get why this guy is in this situation. And that pleases me. I always enjoy Vision just because he can take a step back and make some dramatic pronouncements and it all comes out of Paul Bettany's beautiful voice.
How about for you?
I'm a secret Black Widow fan. Without talking about what happens in this movie to her, she's tough to get right. You know, she does not wear her emotions on her sleeve, and she's got a dark backstory, and she doesn't make friends easily. And so anytime you get lightness from her or you get connection from her, she makes you earn it. So, and I don't know, it's just as a substitute for humans, I think a lot of us wear our armor like that.
Yeah. Do you know what you're doing next?
So we started a studio with the Russo brothers, and so we have our hands in a lot of pies there. We just wrote a true story, very political story we can't talk about, but hopefully we'll start shooting at the end of this year that you will be very excited by.
It's right. Nice to write about two people in a room as opposed to 50 people across the cosmos. It's a little bit of a breather.
Yeah.
Will you come back and talk to us about
yes,
that?
Yes, I'll tell you about it off air, sure.
Love it. My guests have been Steve McFeely and Christopher Marcus. They are the screenwriters behind the massive hit film Avengers Endgame. Guess what? It's in theaters now, everybody.
Well,
thanks for stopping by, thank guys. You. Coming next, the executive director of El Museo de Barrio, which is celebrating its 50th anniversary. This is all of it. We'll have more after a quick break.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.